Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you would turn, as we do our scripture reading, to Genesis chapter 1, please. Amen. Last week we read chapter 1, 1 to 13. Now we're going to read 14 to 31 of chapter 1. Okay, y'all ready to read together? If you don't have your Bibles, it's up on the TV there, okay? Amen. Y'all ready? Verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. 15. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. 16. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. 17. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light unto the earth. 18. And to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. 19. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. 20. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that has life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. 21. And God created great whales and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. 22. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. 23. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and the beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. 25. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. 26. And God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, and male and female created he them. 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree that which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. 30. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Amen. God created everything. You know what? He created everything for us, for humanity. He knew what was going to happen. He said, replenish the earth. Amen. He created it for us. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 3, please. Page 2084. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My Lord. Amen. Let's make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Colossians, which he was Paul, the Apostle Paul, which is not one of the 12 disciples, okay? He wasn't one of the 12, okay? Paul was an apostle. Remember, Paul was the one, he would go and he would do things to Christians, murder and persecute them and do all kinds of evil. And one day he was riding to Damascus, and all of a sudden it says a big light shone from above and blinded him, and he fell off his horse, and he was blinded for 3 days. And Ananias went and prayed for him, and the scales fell off of his eyes, and he started to serve Christ. Well, even when he called and he said, Lord, or when he fell off that horse, he was saying, Lord, I receive you. I know you're God. My Lord, what a God we serve. And here, the Apostle Paul, thank God he's written many, many books in the New Testament. Many. If, you know, I often wonder, I said, Lord, if it wasn't for Paul, where would the New Testament be? It wouldn't be here. You know, God would have had to use someone else. And so here we see he writes to the church at Colossae, which is the Colossians. That's an actual church, okay? That was a church body that was there meeting, serving the Lord, that the Apostle Paul had started. He went, started a church there, and he was writing them a letter like you would write a letter to someone. You see, these are actual letters that were sent to churches that were functioning at that time. And so he writes in Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 1-4, it says, if you then being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Verse 3, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Here we see, starting with verse 1, it says, if you then being risen with Christ, that means you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. And he knew most of them had. He was writing to the church, the body of believers. And he was saying, look, you received Christ as your Lord and Savior. But he said, seek those things which are above. You know, sometimes we get saved. We seek God. You know, we read his word. We seek him in prayer. We seek him through sermons. We listen to sermons. We do everything we know to do to have knowledge of the things of God. But sometimes later in time, we may stop doing those things. But Christ or the Apostle Paul was telling the church there, seek those things which are above. Because probably, even in verse 2, it kind of says the same thing. Probably they were starting to seek the things of the earth, of the world. Now you might say, well, Pastor, is there anything wrong with this or that? No, there's nothing wrong. Just so the things of the world don't have a grip on your heart. You see? Just so the things of the world don't grip your heart, and that's what you are looking to. He said, seek those things which are above. Seek those things that Jesus paid the price for. See, Jesus, it says, his work is finished because he sat down next to the Father saying, my work is done. And now we have to seek him through all the knowledge that we can seek him with. Do everything we can to know the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. To know what he has done for us. To know what he has given us. To know the victory he has given us through his word and through the cross of Calvary. Seek those things which are above. You see, we can look to the things of this earth. And let me tell you, all the things of the earth are temporal. It'll give you what you need a little bit at what time you need it. But it will fade away. All our homes that we keep so nice and look so good, and thank God we need to do that. You need to keep it clean. You need to keep it looking nice. But I tell you what, you leave it there for a couple of years without doing anything. And let's see what happens. It will decay. It will fall apart. It will be destroyed. Because it takes man, because God has given us that to take care of. He said, Adam and Eve, go and take care of the garden. Take care of it. Take care of it. And so we should not put our eyes on the things of the earth. Now, there's nothing wrong with things. Like I said, just so it doesn't grip your heart that you wake up every moment of the night or you wake up every moment of the day and you're thinking about money. Money's important, but don't love it so much. Don't love it. It's good to have. Thank you, Lord. That God, and God, look, you might say, well, is money's not wrong, because God wants to bless us. God wants to give back unto us. You know, we talk about tithing. Thank God he put that in his word so he can bless his people back. It says the temple, remember when they were building the temple and they told the people, go for it, come and bring all the things that we need for the temple. And it says after a while, they had to tell them to stop. Because there was too much stuff. Too much. The people had a giving heart of giving. That's how we need to be giving in all areas. I'm not just in all areas of our lives. But seek those things which are above. Keep your eyes upon Jesus Christ, the one that finished the work on Calvary's cross. Don't take your eyes off of him. You might say, well, I can't see him on the cross. No, he's not on the cross. It's an empty cross. It's an empty tomb. That's not where he resides anymore. He resided in that tomb for 3 days. Okay? And he was on that cross for X amount of hours. But he does not reside there anymore. He resides on heaven's gates. He resides in heaven above, seated next to the Father, because he deserves that seat because of what he has done at Calvary's cross. And because of his actions, we can be free of sin, death, hell, and the grave. Seek those things which are above. Seek God with all your life. And I know some people think, well, if I seek him, I'll be poor. Well, that doesn't mean you don't seek him while you're working. I know I'm working and I'm praying. Working and praying, saying, God, move upon our church, Lord. Move upon our people. Calling out your name because of some things I know. Asking God to move upon you. Asking God to heal your bodies. Seeking God for what God can do. He's a great God. Let's not get our eyes off of the prize. And that's Jesus Christ sitting next to God in heaven. My Lord, is the Holy Spirit roaming this earth, bringing people to the knowledge of Christ. Seeking him no matter what. And I'll ask you this, and I don't want a response. Zero. When was the last time you prayed? And I'm not talking praying like, Father, I need. And that's nothing wrong with that. Father, I need. And sometimes we cross the line and we say, Father, I want. And then we cross another line and say, Father, I can't live without. Help me, Lord. What I'm saying is, and there's nothing wrong with going to your needs, because God says he would meet our needs. But when was the last time you got on your knees? You might say, okay now, Pastor, some of us are getting old. It's hard to get on our knees. And when I say get on our knees, a form of prayer. We look at kneeling and sometimes we think of praying. Well, when was the last time you got up before me and say, Father, I want to thank you. Thank you for all that you've done for me. keeping your eyes upon the prize of Calvary's cross, keeping your eyes, Lord, thank you for the moving of Jesus Christ upon the earth through the Holy Ghost. Thank you for touching my family. Thank you for healing my body. Thank you, Lord, for the mighty miracles, Lord God. Thank you for setting people free, Lord God Almighty. Thank you for lifting up depression from people's lives. Thank you, Lord God, for moving upon the hearts and lives of your people. Thank you, Lord, because we know this, you are alive and well and seated next to God upon the throne room. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what he said, keeping your eyes upon him and getting that word and reading it and quoting that word and quoting that word. David got up early in the morning. It's a lesson for us. No amens. That's okay. It says in Scripture, David got up early in the morning. I don't know how many times it says it in there. At least 3 or 4 times that I know of. And we know David. God said David was a man after God's own heart. Huh? You want to know why he was a man after God's own heart? Because he got up early in the morning. And hey, you might say, well, Pastor, I just look at it this way. Seek God whenever. But I tell you what, when you put God first in the morning, your whole day goes good. And even when there's a bump in the road, God is there to get you over that bump, huh? Because you don't know what's going to happen. We don't know the future as far as our day, during the day. We don't know if somebody's going to cuss us out, you know, about something. We don't know if somebody's going to yell at us. We don't know, you know. We don't know if somebody might come and say, hey, look, thank you for what you do. We don't know unless God would show us in the supernatural. And God can do it if he wants to. He can do all things, my Lord. We don't serve no little God. We serve a great God. A great God. And so we start out our day praising and honoring him and thanking him. Lord, I just want to thank you. Praise God. You're a great God. Thank you that everything I have, Lord, I thank you're going to help us to pay it off, Lord. You just come, talk to him. Lord, I thank you that you're going to move upon my children, Lord. That they're going to be great children, Lord, serving you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, I thank you for my grandchildren, Lord God. You're going to raise them up to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord God, you're going to use them for this latter day revival, Lord God. Lord God, I thank you for our church, Lord God. The power of the Holy Spirit working in it and through it, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that you're going to anoint me with the anointing to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I preach, that you're going to stamp that word in the hearts and lives of your people, Lord God, and it will produce fruit within them. Praying that God would move. Look, this is where you get before God. You worship him, and you bring your children, and you bring your grandchildren, and you bring all the troubles of the world that are weighing on your shoulders before him. And you don't walk away, oh, mealy, mealy, mealy. You walk away knowing you've been with the King. The King that has made the sun, the moon, and the stars all for us. The King that has made everything upon this earth. Okay? It wasn't evolution, people. It was God. God made this stuff. And made it into, he spoke it into being, except man. He took the tender loving care of molding mankind out of the dust of the earth. My Lord, you know how precious we are to him. We are higher than angels. And you might say, man, angels, man, everybody says you want to be an angel. I don't tell them, you know, you're going to be, because it'd be hard to explain. But I don't want to be an angel. That's too low. Uh-huh. Well, they'll get their wings. I don't want wings. There's only a few angels that have wings. You know that? Very few that he made. Very few. But it says that we were made a little lower than Elohim, which is a little lower, you can read it, than God. Ooh. You are so precious to him. You might say, Pastor, you don't realize how horrible I am sometimes. What I do, what I say, where I go, what I... Give it to Jesus and let him handle those things. Amen. Let him clean us up and move upon our hearts and lives. Set your affection on things above. Look to him like never before. And go to him like never before. You know, I often think, you know, Adam and Eve sinned, and they did. They ate of the fruit of that tree. Most think it wasn't an apple. We know that. Most think it was probably a pomegranate of some kind like that, something like that, that they ate from, whatever it was. But they disobeyed God. That was the big thing. But I often wondered, when Jesus, well, God the Father would come out every night and he'd walk in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve every night. And he would talk with them. Interesting. I wonder, when he came out, it says they fled because they knew they were naked. And they tried to sew what's fig leaves together. I wonder, because God knew what they did, when he came out to meet with them, if they would have ran to him and just bowed their heads before him and saying, Father, we've sinned. He would have said, I know. But I wonder if the circumstances would have been a little different. We know sin entered the earth at that time, and it destroyed some things. That's why we have the effects of sin upon the earth. That's why we have the turmoil in the seas, the turmoil with the heavens. That's why we have it. It wasn't supposed to be like that from the beginning. When he remade the earth, not remade the earth, when he replenished and redid the earth, because it was there. See, God knows what we need. We serve a great God. It says, keep our thoughts upon him. Look at this. Verse 1, seek those things which are above. And also look at verse 2, set your affection on things above. Really? It's almost the same, but it is a little different. The first part says in verse 1, seek those things which are above. And verse 2 says, set your affection on things above. Which is basically almost the same, but one is seeking and one is setting. Ooh, totally different, but almost the same. Wow. Here we see, and because of time's sake, Mary and Martha, Jesus came in Luke. It talks about Mary and Martha. Maybe if you have time today, go to Luke chapter 18 or so and read about the scenario of Mary and Martha. They were sisters. They both loved God. And Jesus was coming into town, and Mary went out to meet him. Martha, they got him. They came to the house. One of them was cooking and getting everything ready for the event because Jesus was in their house and people were coming. And that's typical, huh? And that's a good thing, huh? One of them just stayed at Jesus' feet and didn't help the other sister, Mary. And just like siblings, one got mad at the other one about that. Which one will you choose? Will you choose to sit at the feet of Jesus and seek those things that are above? And set your affection on him. He's not saying that cooking and stuff wasn't important. But he was saying one chose the most important thing and one didn't. So what are we choosing on a daily basis? What's important or the most important thing? Do we choose the important thing, which is important, but do we choose the most important thing? Which one? We have an opportunity every day. Every day we have 24 hours in it. We have an opportunity to seek our God. What are you going to do tomorrow? Are you going to sleep instead of getting up? And I'm not saying sleeping's not good. Sleeping is wonderful. I'm sorry, because of what Adam and Eve did, they said we have to sleep. We have to rejuvenate our bodies. We're just tired. Nothing wrong with sleeping. But we can't sleep so much that, yesterday I was drove up. I'm trying to think time-wise. About 1:45 in the afternoon. 1:45 to almost 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I know where I'm going to be at a certain time. I drive up this lady, an elderly lady. I'm telling you, late 70s, early 80s. Just elderly. And she was picking up, somebody had cut her grass, and she was picking up whatever. And I said, hey, good afternoon, ma'am. And I gave her her mail, and she said, "Ooh," she said, "I just got up." I said, "Oh, good." And I'm thinking, man, lady, get up. I don't know what time you went to bed, but, she just got up. Not a nap either. She didn't say a nap. She said, "I just got up from sleeping all." And there's nothing wrong with napping. But what is the most important thing for us people? Come on now. We're Christians, which means Christ-like. What's important? Seek those things that are above. Set your affection on things that are above. Set them. Seek him. Let God move. As you praise him and honor him, then you go to him and give him what's weighing upon your heart. He knows what's weighing upon our hearts. You give him those things and you say, "Lord, I know you're going to handle it." And look, just because you pray once doesn't mean you don't pray again for it. You keep knocking on that door. Keep knocking. What do you have to lose? Zero. What do you have to gain? Everything. By keep knocking. He knows what you're going through. He knows what I'm going through. He knows what's happening in all the world. But he knows what's happening in your life. And so you keep going before him. You keep on seeking him. Seek the Lord while he may be found. And the last verse, four, talks about the coming of the Lord, the rapture of the church. My Lord, one day he's coming, people. One day he's coming. Like some of them said, we need to be bold and do and be. Stand up for what's right. Stand up for righteousness. Be godly in your activities. Be godly in your thinking. Be godly in what you do. Might say, "Well, I don't know what godly means." That means to do things like Jesus would do it, to think the way he would think. Might say, "Well, I don't know how he thinks." Get in the Word of God and he'll show you how to think. It'll transform your mind to think the way God thinks. That Word of God was pinned down by the power of the Holy Ghost. It wasn't just man, the Apostle Paul, as he wrote 17 books of the New Testament. "Well, today I'm going to write to the church in Colossae." No, the Spirit of God would come over this man. And the Holy Ghost would be upon him. And he would sit down and the Spirit of God would move. I know some of you have felt the Spirit of God. You know what it is. When God is working on your heart and you sit down and you're writing something, and you know it's the Spirit of God working and moving. That's God. And he gave it out to the Colossian church. Look, seek him with everything, because he's coming back. One day, those eastern skies are going to split, people. It's going to split. and he's coming for his church. My Lord, I hope I'm here alive when that happens. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it'd be okay to come out the grave, but I want to be alive. I mean, you know, as far as a living being, a living person. A living person to see what God can do. I want to urge you with everything urgency within me. Don't leave God behind. Amen. Don't put him on the back burner and say that's for later. Let's serve him in your youth. Serve him in your middle ages. Serve him when you're old. Serve him. And let me tell you, he has a better future than what you ever could think for yourself. He has a better future for you. The devil will tell you, serve God, you're going to be poor. You're not going to have this. You're not going to go far in life. That is so untrue. That is so untrue. Let me tell you this, you serve God. I can't say everything's going to be perfect, but let me tell you something. There'll be a God next to you that will help you through every difficult time, that will help you through every good time, that will be there when you need him, and even when you don't. We always need him. But he'll be there, giving you a future and a hope and help when it's needed. That's why we have so many people blowing up their brains out with guns. Guns are not bad. It's what's behind it, the finger. Yeah. Automobiles are not bad. It's just who's driving sometimes gets off course. You see? The devil will try to tell you there's evil. And he wants to bring destruction upon your life. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But it says God has come to give us life and to have it more abundantly. God says, I want to give you life. I want to give you a purpose. I want to give you something to live for. Don't ever think you have nothing to live for. You have everything to live for. Just for yourself. Just for your family. Just for your spouse, your children, your spouse, whoever. You might say, well, I don't have that. Well, whatever. Whatever you have, you live for. But you have God that created you from the beginning of time and made you. He formed you. It says in Jeremiah, he forms the babies. He forms them with his hands. Oh, my Lord. My God. He gives us a purpose, people. Keep your eyes upon him and him alone. And don't take it off. And one day your burning bush experience will come. Oh, my Lord, one day it will come. Moses, for 40 years, just out there. He probably gave up hope. He killed a man. He did all kinds of stuff. But that burning one day, he didn't realize when he woke up in that morning that God was going to meet with him. All that time, God was looking over him. Leading him somehow, some way, even though his heart was a little far from him. One day that bush started to burn and it never was consumed. It caught the eye of Moses. He kept looking. He said, something's there. And he went up to it and God spoke to him. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. One day, you never know. God could speak. He could speak audibly. I've heard that before. My Lord, my Lord. My Lord, my Lord. My God. But he can speak here too. He can speak through his word. My Lord. Don't give up. Keep on going. Keep on pursuing. Keep on giving. Keep on doing. Keep on doing what God says to do. And let me tell you, God will move. Jelaine and I were talking about faithfulness yesterday, I think it was. And I said, you know, I wonder how many people God has called into all kinds of ministry, whatever else. But because of they were unfaithful to him, God had to abandon that call. Just be faithful to him. Be faithful to him where he calls you. Be faithful to him what he puts in your heart. Just be faithful. And you never know. You never know what God can do. Just be faithful. Be faithful to get up, to praise him, to honor him. Be faithful to give like you should give. Be faithful to read like you should read. Be faithful to do the things, the Christian things. If you want to call it Christian etiquettes, you can call it that. Whatever it is. Just doing what God calls you to do. And you never know what he might speak one day. Faithfulness. Faithfulness means a lot to him. Faithful. Faithful is he. It says his faithfulness, and I'm going to close here, rises up to the heavens. I mean, it's so great. How many times have you called on him and he never came? How many times you call upon him and he never came? How many times you call upon God and he never came? How many times you call upon God and he never came? Never. Because he's always was there. Amen. You may stand, please.